Go gently. Love reveals itself. Go gently. Love reveals itself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campos, California, with a thought for today. A thought for today. Unconditional love has no time or no place for pity. When we are working with our pets, when we are training our pets, when we are so unconditionally loving, when we just love ourselves and we love all the world around us and we love all the people in our world, everything seems to work out very nicely. Everything works out in a beautiful, harmonious way, and we feel very content and very happy. Why does that work that way? Why does it work that way? Dog teachers tell their students, go gently. The relationship you have with your student will reveal itself. You watch. The relationship you have with your dog, it will reveal itself because your dog is your student. Your dog is listening to you. Your dog wants to have you be its pack master. Life wants to have us be its pack master because we are the creator of our life. And our life should be like a lot of pets. Everything in our life should be a pet for us. Something that we gently love, that we unconditionally love, that we watch, and that we allow to be itself. And we allow it without judging it. And we don't say that the dog is doing naughty things. We just say, the dog always behaves. The dog always cooperates. If we ever allow room in our thinking for anything in our world to operate in an inaccurate way, in a way that's not beneficial to itself or to us or to the world, then we are very foolish because we are giving our world permission to be something other than what we are, something other than our unconditional love, something other than our non-possessive awareness of how great everything is. Truly, everything is marvelous. Everything is great. When we can say all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. When we can say that, every time something confuses us or every time something comes up in our mind, when we can say all is in divine order, what are we saying? We are saying that there is a bigger picture at work here. There is a bigger activity at work here. There's a bigger principle at work here. There's something at work here that is so marvelous, so fantastic, so delightful that it's beyond our belief. It's beyond anything we could ever recognize or ever know. That's what it's all about. Oh, yes, indeed, that's what it's all about. We have the opportunity of living our lives so wonderfully and so beautifully all the time. Whenever we feel low, we just say, I'm high, I'm wonderful, I'm fantastic. Whenever we feel that something is troubling us or something is disturbing us or something is causing us to feel unhappy, we just say, all is in divine order. Whenever we look at the life of another person in our world and we see that life less than perfect, we say, wow, that's my vision. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And then as we say, all is in divine order, we have a new vision, a new picture, and we go gently and we realize that the truth reveals itself so beautifully. Whatever our expectation is in life, that's what life gives to us. Whatever our expectation is in our beingness, in our world, in our experiences, that's what life gives to us. What is it you want life to give to you? What is it you want life to reveal to you? Well, then you look at all in divine order, and you'll see that life gives that back to you in a great, wonderful, bountiful measure. We have the privilege of determining who and what we are. We have the privilege of determining what experiences we'll have in life. We get a dog. And we go to a dog training school. And at the dog training school, the dog trainer says, someone has to tell the dog what to do. Someone has to be the example for the dog of what to do. Someone has to look at that dog and say, you're wonderful, you're good, you're beautiful. That's the true same thing is true for parents. Parents have children, and they don't. None of them really have ever gone to school, parent school, to learn how to be a good parent. But they intuitively do it because they realize that if they ask the best out of their children, they'll get the best. If they ask the worst, they'll get the worst. If they constantly belittle, constantly berate, constantly tell their children they're not wonderful, they're not beautiful, they're not fantastic, then that is the way the child will be in their world. You look at a child and you say, they are an example of the home that they're brought up in. They're an example of the values that their parents have, that the parents have taught them. Now, your parents don't teach them by saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, these are the rules and you live by them. The parents are an example of the rules. And as they are an example of the rules, the child sees this example, the child sees this role model, and follows it because the child admires the parent. Generally speaking, in all homes, parents are usually admired very strongly by the children. The children stand by their parents, they stand by their mom, and they stand by their dad, and they stand by their sisters and brothers, and they stand by the family name. They stand by everything that's beautiful and good because they are having that as their role model. This is what they have seen mostly. This is what they see every day. This is who they respond to. They don't respond to the neighbor's mothers and fathers. They don't respond to the neighbor's families, although they may look at some of them and say, they sure are a happy family. They sure are a joyous family. I wonder why they're so happy and we sometimes are sad. Well, when children learn what the values are in the family, mom and dad know what their values are and not being consistent with them. And then they live them. And then it's just a natural thing for the family to do this. And so it's a natural thing for the family to follow whatever are the values of the family. And a dog follows whatever your values are. Your values are you don't lift your leg inside of somebody's house. You don't mark property that's not unnecessary for you to mark. You do your duty outdoors, you say to the dog. You do your duty, and then you as a good master, you take along your duty, your doggy bag, and you pick up the duty, and you put it in the trash. You just follow the rules, and you keep your country beautiful. You keep your countryside lovely. You keep your neighborhood lovely. You pick up all these doggy doos that are here and there in your yard or anybody else's that you see because you want everything to be clean. If you start having that habit, even picking up other doggies do that their owner had not done, pretty soon that will become the status quo of how things are to be done. We are the example. We are the role model. And as a role model, what do you do? As a role model, how do you live your life? How do you go into doing things that are important? Is there anything too much or too little when we see someone who says, I don't pick up those things, I don't do that? Well, then don't have a dog. And don't have a cat. Don't have a creature that does their duty outdoors and that needs to be picked up and put away. It's the way it is. You wouldn't like it if all the neighbors went outside and did their duty and left it. That would be rather bad. After a while, it would do terrible things to the neighborhood when you have so many people all living in close proximity and then people are not putting away their duty. Well, that's being a pack master. That's being a dog whisperer. That's being a parent who recognizes with unconditional love their child. A mother would never think of not cleaning up its child. A mother would not ever think of doing it. A mother would not think of not feeding its child. And when a mother feeds its child, it loves the child and says beautiful things to the child while it's feeding the child. It says, You are a wonderful child. You are a beautiful child. You are cooperative. You know how to get along well in this world because you do all the things that make everybody happy and that make you happy. You are just a wonderful child. And as a parent gives this loving information to the child responds to it and joyously cooperates with it and lives it. Yes, unconditional love has no place for pity. It has no place for feeling sorry for oneself. It only has a place of putting the cause in motion for what you want. Putting the cause in motion for what you experience in your life, for who you are. And when you know who you are, then you can be the happiest person in the world. You are a fabulous being. And because you're a fabulous being, you have everything going for you. And because you're a fabulous being, you have everything being expressed in your life in a beautiful, fantastic manner. And that is exactly who and what you are now and forevermore. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who all are. And how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. That's what goes on. That's what goes on, and that's all that matters. Today, put a cause in motion for yourself of how beautiful you are and how wonderful you are and how fantastic you are. Put a cause in motion that you are surrounded by beautiful beings, that you are surrounded by a world of magnificence, a magnificent world of unconditional love. And as you put that in motion for yourself, as you recognize that for yourself, that is exactly what you experience. That's exactly what you know, and that's exactly what you are all the time. Unconditional love has no room for pity. It only has a place to say, I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. I live in a good world. And so it is. You live in a good world.